Is your website pretty? Does it work right? Can people find it? If you answered no or kinda to any of these questions, you came to the right podcast, because we're going to help you mind your business. Here's your host, a man who paid me to not tell you he reads the dictionary in his spare time, but obviously didn't pay me enough. From Mind Development and Design, Mark Boyd.
Welcome to this week's Mind Your Business podcast. I'm going to answer a question concerning Google's Panda update here in just a little bit, and also have another content nugget for those of you who are getting stuck on what to write about on your blog every week. And as I've said previously, I'm not going to have these necessarily every week, but as often as I can, I'm going to pull some ideas out here to help you keep your content fresh on your site. But first things first. On last week's podcast, I talked about the new Foursquare and how it might be a good move considering their partnership with Microsoft, access to user preferences, and et cetera. Now, our own Chad Rock McComsey, though, pointed out at the office, and it was really an eye-opener for me. He pointed out that I got a little too strategic and totally missed the user part of the equation there. And when he referred in our conversation, when he referred to Foursquare as a game, I knew I needed to bring him on to get all of us up to speed with Foursquare's recent changes and how their evolution has affected their users and driven some of them away. Because you know the recent change is because they're trying to recover that relevance that they once had and they lost. So basically, last week I gave you the strategic impact from a marketing standpoint, and this week you get user impact from a once avid Foursquare user. Now some of you are still on the fence about whether to have a business profile on Foursquare. Some of you may still be on the fence after this. Some of you may be tipped one way or the other, but I guarantee you will have more insight than you've had before to make that decision. Now, Chad, you were very adamant in your opinion with Foursquare, which is why I wanted you to express it on the podcast here. Mm-hmm. Now, first, can you explain what you meant by the game aspect of Foursquare? Really explain how it worked when you were a heavy user.
Sounds good. Well, the nuts and bolts of it essentially were, it was Foursquare was a check-in app, but along with, you know, your check-ins, you know, it received points, and after you check in so many times into a specific location, you would attain a mayorship. And when you checked into said location, your mayorship would give you more points. If you were hanging out with a mayor, you got more points. If you visited new places, if you did new things, you got more points.
So if you had a lot of points as a mayor, then my Q rating would go up if I was hanging out with you.
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. Yeah, you would be top dog if you're hanging out with a mayor.
I'm digging it.
Yeah. So there was the points game, which was always, you know, kind of fun. At least in my opinion, it was always kind of fun because, you know, especially with me, my wife and I, and, you know, some of my friends, you know, you would see, you know, your friends on the list and you could compete with them. You know, so-and-so checked in 8 times today, like while they were on their road trip, and they had 60 points, and they're like, what the heck, like son of a gun, I need to get out there and I need to get more points. Okay. So the other really cool thing that Foursquare had going for them was the badges and was the system that they had behind your visits. For example, I used to work out at the Y up by the office, and I held the mayorship down at the local Lancaster YMCA for probably a solid year and a half. And I earned the gym rat badge because I showed, because I went to the gym every day for so long. And then, you know, it would, like, you know, you go to the gym 5 times in a week, boom, you get the gym rat badge. And then you keep going and you keep going, and it incrementally gets higher. You get gym rat level 2, level 3, level 4. It was something to help. I believe it was something that helped me continue using the app, number one, but also gave me like a motivation, or gave me something, you know, something that I could earn. And I think that is the big thing that somewhat drived Foursquare, and something that they killed in this new version that I think is going to really cause some issues.
As a Foursquare user, how did the previous changes succeed in, if not driving you away completely, in causing you to use Foursquare less and less?
The only thing I think that really ended up causing me to use it less was having to check in. You know, typically when a friend got a Foursquare account, you could count on them being pretty active with it for about 6 months. After a while, you know, you realize that the places that you go, you know, there maybe there's a lot of other competition, or maybe there's, you know, or maybe there's not. You know, I mean, like the competition was part of the fun part of it. You know, what I mean, so you could go out and, you know, you go out to your, you know, your local watering hole and check in. You'd be the mayor there, and you'd get a notice the next day saying that so and so ousted you as the mayor because they checked in more times than you did. Well, son of a gun! Now I got to go back.
Now I got to go out and party again.
Now I got to go out and party again. Shoot, you know. The problem though was keeping up with it. You know, it's like anything. Because if you could establish yourself as the mayor and you could kick everybody's butt like I did for a good year at the Y, but after a while it's like, well, man, now I got to keep up with it. You know, now I got to represent. The love of it or the infatuation with it kind of fades after a while, unless you travel a lot. I don't necessarily go out a lot. You know, so if I go to a new bar or I go to a new restaurant or something like that, or my wife and I go on vacation, you know, we'll check in. But I've gotten past the point where I'm checking in at work every day, or I'm checking in at the gym every day. Now I'm just checking in if it's a new place that I go, or if I want to let people know, hey, I'm over at the bar doing this, doing that, like, you know, come hang out. So that's where I think the engagement kind of fell off. It was just after a while, you know, it lost its luster.
I've been registered on Foursquare for a while, but I mean, I've just been a weenie. I've been too paranoid to check in, you know, wherever I am. Now with these recent changes, I mean, you were really adamant about how, you know, they've really screwed up now. How do you feel that they've really screwed up with this? And I mean, what do you think was the biggest blunder?
Well, honestly, the biggest blunder is a couple blunders as a whole. I think the first blunder that we run into is the fact that you need to download a new app, that you need to use Swarm now. I have Foursquare. I went out to my wife and I went out to eat the other night. We hit a restaurant. I went to check in and it goes, oh, hey, you got to download Swarm. Everyone's checking in on Swarm. And I said, well, why the hell do I need Foursquare then? Like, why do I need to have this extra app? So not only are you taking away functionality from the original app, but you're making me download something else on my phone. Myself personally, I have a phone that has a good bit of memory on it, that has a good hard drive on it, so I can download a ton of stuff. But for your average user, if they're using a lower level phone, or if they don't have a SIM card, they don't have an extra SD card or something in there like space on your phone could be an issue. Like, it doesn't make any sense to have two apps that essentially could do the same thing. The secondary, and I think was probably the biggest blunder, was getting rid of the points in the badge system. Again, like, that was one of those things that I would actively go for. I would use the app specifically to get the badges and to specifically get points to compete with my friends and to have fun like that. It was, you know, and regardless of how silly it is, you know, it's not an actual tangible badge. It just pops up on your screen. 9 times out of 10, if you have it set up right, it goes onto your Facebook and your friends are like, oh, hey, check out this cool badge, you know, and like, you know, you get a bunch of likes and it's, you know, all fine and dandy. And it was kind of creative too, because sometimes you would do special badges. There was always on April 16th, 4/16, that was the Foursquare day. And if you checked in anywhere on April 16th, you got the Foursquare badge for that year. So it was, you know, or if you did, I think they had one for like holidays. If you went to some kind of event, they started getting into, it was really kind of cool because they started getting into specific events. I think they may have had ones for the Olympics. I think they may have had ones for like different concerts and things of that nature, but it started getting specific. And I think that was probably the way that they should have kept going instead of dumping the whole system completely and trying to just make this into another check-in app. I think the big downfall is removing the game and removing the essentially the user's incentive to use your app. There's other apps I can check in on. I can get reviews anywhere else. I can't always get these cool badges, and I can't always get the sense of satisfaction that I might get with another app that I could have gotten while using Foursquare. The example that I like to use nowadays of an app that took the Foursquare concept and is running with it and is doing very well with it, in my opinion, is Untappd, and that is a beer app. They have essentially the same kind of system.
Now, who wouldn't love a beer app?
Exactly. I mean, I think it's a lot of fun, and you don't really get mayorships or anything like that, but you earn badges, and you get the social aspect. So I have a bunch of my beer drinking buddies, the ones that really like the craft beers. They like their IPAs. They like their triples and, like all kinds of all the beer knowledge in the world that you want to know. These guys are on these apps and they're conversing back and forth. And as you try new beers, you get new badges. If you drank five IPAs and over the past month, you're going to get the IPA badge. After you drink a couple other new ones, you're going to get a level two. And the cool thing with that is that it's tiered, so it's not, you can't drink the same five beers over and over again and keep getting updated badges. You have to switch it up. You're covering all your major brands, but then there's a lot of smaller breweries and little places that you can't buy at a distributor, you can't buy at a store. You have to go there to try the beers. So it also kind of encourages a little bit more the social aspect with going out and visiting these breweries and going out and exploring more of what got you into the app in the first place. And I think that's very important to your users and a very important part of keeping your users.
You're listening to the Mind Your Business podcast with Mark Boyd. I'm David Atwood, and Mind Development and Design pays me to say nice things about them. We'll be right back after these messages.
Sometimes cheap is good, but isn't your website too important to trust to some cheap web host? Like a really great cup of fresh coffee, sometimes it's worth paying a few cents more. If you're tired of downtime and slow performance, it's time for a better web host. Fresh Roasted Hosting's accelerated web hosting means your pages load faster and can handle more traffic, while their virtual and dedicated servers mean you've got room to grow. Best of all, every hosting service is backed by 24-hour support and a 99.9% uptime SLA. And thanks to their Tier 2 data centers in Texas and Pennsylvania, Fresh Roasted Hosting delivers a full range of hosting solutions. Accelerated web hosting, domain names, private servers, even co-location services, they've got you covered. Your website is too important to trust to some cheap web host. Upgrade to Fresh Roasted Hosting today and use promo code FRESH2014 to save 10% on any new hosting service. Visit FreshRoastedHosting.com today. Terms and conditions apply. See FreshRoastedHosting.com for complete details.
If you have a question you want answered on a future podcast, visit MindDND.com/podcast and click on the Podcast Questions Ask Now button. We love your questions. Keep them coming.
And we're back with the Mind Your Business podcast presented by Mind Development and Design. And I'm going to go right to a question that was asked on our website, on our Ask a Question page. And this question comes from Complicated Mama. And Complicated Mama has a question in reference to the Google Panda update from back in late May. The question goes, with the rollout of Google's Panda update, how can affected sites fix their site rankings? I have a 5-year-old site, and thinking about going through every post manually makes me want to throw in the towel. Is there a chance the Penguin update will make it better for my site? So there's actually several parts to the question. I'm going to answer the easiest part first. The last part of the question there was, is there a chance the Penguin update will make it better for my site? No. And the reason for that is Panda and Penguin are two totally different updates. Panda targets websites that Google views to have thin content, and that means either too much fluff, too little valuable information, duplicate content, keyword stuffing, or some combination therein. And the truth is, there are a lot of services online, some of them legit, some of them not legit, but there are a lot of services online where you can have people write content for you. And many times they spin content. I mean, they have automated ways of generating new content, and the content really sucks at the end of the day. and it's usually keyword stuffed, and it usually does not read very well. But truth of the matter is, a lot of people have not paid attention to that when they will hire services to write content for their site. All they care about is it optimized? And is it going to help me in the rankings? Well, you could get away with that a few years ago, but now, no. That kind of behavior is catching up with people. Now, I'm not saying that that's what the case is here, because I honestly don't know. But I will say that I would venture to guess that since the website in question here is 5 years old, I would venture to guess that there is some content on there. If we go back, say, 3 years, I would venture to guess that there is some content on that site that that probably is written with optimization in mind, not so much written with readership in mind. And you are going to have to go through and change that kind of stuff. Because here's the part that is the least fun about algorithmic penalty. When you're in manual penalty with Google, Google sends you a message, you get it through your Webmaster Tools account, and they basically tell you, hey, we visited your site and we saw you were doing this, this, and this, and this. You can't do this, 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 and this. Fix this and get back with us. That's not exactly what they say, but that's the gist of it. They tell you, here's what's wrong with your site. We're penalizing you, manual spam penalty. Just fix these things and get back with us, and you'll be back on track. With algorithmic penalty, you don't get any note from Google. You just find that you're not ranking when there's an algorithm update. You find that you've lost your ranking. There's no shortcut around it. I wish I had better news for you with that, complicated mama. The truth of the matter is, you're going to have to go through those posts. The good news about it is it's probably not going to be as extensive as you may think that it is. You may not have to rewrite everything. You may have to just go through and do some minor edits. Now, on some other pages, you may have to do some major rewrites. In reference to the Panda update, it's important to note that we did not get a Penguin update this past May. We got the Panda update, but we did not get the Penguin update this past May. And for the last 2 years, Penguin had been updating in 2012 and 2013, May, October, May, October. And we got around to May of this year, and there was no Penguin update. Given a couple comments that Matt Cutts has made at SMX Advance, for instance, be ready. And again, this is a gut feeling on my part, but be ready for a Penguin update this coming October or November. Because Matt Cutts made a remark that it's about time for a Penguin update. Does not sound like he's in any hurry for it, but at the same time, since we missed the update in May that we had experienced for the last 2 years, and given that Google probably does want to teach web spam people a lesson, they're taking their time. But they've got to stay on a schedule too. I would guess that sometime October, November, that we may see another Penguin update. And a lot of you that were hit by the last Penguin update, it can't come soon enough, because you can do all the fixes that you want, but until the new update happens, you don't really reap the benefits of what you did.
Mind your business.
All right, I've got another idea for you. For those of you who are struggling every week to come up with new fresh material for your blog posts, it's easy to do, because you get mired in the details of the work that you do, and it's easy to get focused in on too much detail. You get caught up in too much detail to where you miss the big picture. A lot of these blog ideas that I'm giving you are with the idea of keeping the big picture in mind. So my idea for you this week is, answer this question on an upcoming blog post. If you were to retire today, what words of advice would you give to your number two, or to the person coming in to take your place after you retire? A lot of you may not have thought about that. A lot of us don't think about that, but a lot of changes happen when we're in business. You're in business for 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. Hell, if you're about to retire, you've been doing what you do for a while. You got a lot of stories to tell. You've seen a lot of changes, some for the good, some not for the good. And think of it like this. You don't necessarily have to make your blog post words of advice that you would give somebody if you retired. I mean, you can if you want. But look at it as a catalyst for you to think about the changes that you have seen in your business over the years. Worst case scenario is you're going to wind up with a blog post that outlines a big what if, which is a pretty damn fine worst case scenario. Best case scenario is you're going to get writing and you're going to start outlining, bullet pointing different changes that you've seen happen in your business over the years. And it's going to light a fire. And all of a sudden, you're going to have a whole lot of topics, whole list of topics that you can write about on your blog. So take that for the idea for this week. I hope that it serves you well. Until next week, mind your business.
From the minds at Mind Development and Design, thank you for joining us today. Until next week, make sure you mind your business.